Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
But just one clip in particular kind of jumped out at us when Kevin Colbert was asked about Ben Roethlisberger and doing new things in this offense, getting under center, play action.
He's obviously had discussions not only with Coach Tomlin, I know he met with Coach Canada, and everybody's comfortable with Ben being our guy as we move into it. And, you know, schematics will determine themselves as we prepare for whoever our first game is, and, you know, we each week after that. So Ben's capable of playing under center. He's certainly capable of playing from the shotgun. And we'll see how it all evolves because, again, he'll have, you know, a couple new offensive linemen in front of him. He'll have a different tight end in the mix. He's got a different runner in the mix. The receivers, as we sit here today, would be the same. So we know he can do anything we want him to do. And I think we'll always decide what's best for a given week.
It sounds to me like there's an inherent belief from Kevin, and he says they had a conversation, or there's ongoing conversations with Ben and Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin, but an inherent belief, a trust, that Ben will buy all in to this offensive system.
There's one thing that Kevin said that I think is a hope and not a definitive statement, that he says that Ben is capable from playing under center. Ben's a very good quarterback. He is. And this, I'm not here to knock Ben Roethlisberger. I just don't know if he is at this point of his career capable of playing under center, and here's why. I think that Ben Roethlisberger has talked himself out of thinking that he is capable of playing under center, and he simply doesn't want to. And also, it's just not one of his best attributes. His legs aren't there anymore. The escape, and when I say escapability, I mean escapability to get out from under center and get into his drop.
Well, there's footwork involved there that just might not be there anymore at 39 years
Correct.
Old.
I don't think he can get out and just kind of get out the door and get into his drop. I don't think that can happen for him. It's just not what he is. This is going to be really interesting to see because if you have Najee Harris, I think that what works best is a quarterback who can complement, not a running quarterback, but a quarterback who can get out on the edge and make some plays on the perimeter by throwing the football some, that can break out of the pocket, that can move some, and that can play action people because you now do have the threat of a run
right
with him. I won't believe it till I see it, that Ben Roethlisberger is going to turn his back to a linebacker, is going to freeze people out of the play action, and then throw the football down the field with Najee Harris taking a faking a snap and going right up into the middle of the hole and freezing everybody, and then Ben finds somebody.
I mean,
I'm not going to believe it till I see it.
I'm going to grant them the benefit of the doubt in that I can't imagine they can play action any less than they did last year. They were dead last in the league last year in play action plays. So it has to be ramped up somewhat. I've long held, as soon as they hired Matt Canada, even back when we were calling for Randy Fichtner's head and saying they should promote Matt Canada, I never for a second expected and still don't expect that it's going to be a full-on 110% Matt Canada offense. It's going to be some kind of weird hybrid this year where Ben gets a lot of the stuff that he wants and Matt Canada rolls in some of his concepts. And that's why I think this offense is still going to have issues this year. They're going to have moments where they do well. Absolutely. Moments where Ben gets the ball out in 2.2 seconds and the offense moves down the field. Moments where he turns off and hands it off to Harris, turns around and hands it off to Harris, and they pick up 3.5, 3.5, 3.5 and move down the field. But there's also going to be moments where Ben's going to turn around and there's going to be some kind of crazy jet sweep motion and he's going to be lined up under center where he's uncomfortable and he's going to go to hand the ball off and there's going to be he's going to bump into a lineman who's trying to pull or something's going to happen. Well, there's going to be some uncomfortability in this offense, especially early.
I just don't ever see Ben Roethlisberger running at full bore parallel to the scrimmage line. I don't see him doing that in a lot, and not a lot, but some plays are designed to do that with Matt Canada. to elongate the elapsed time that you do have to avoid rushes.
And, yeah, and it doesn't require a big boot out, you know, just a little, you know, jet out just a little bit.
So it is imperative, I think, and if this doesn't, it hasn't already happened, it will. It's imperative to say, well, Ben, you and Matt Canada, like, and Najee Harris, because he needs to be the big dog from day number one. Mm-hmm. You guys all need to get in a room. And you, what you need to do is you need to pull a little piece from this, a little piece from this side, a little piece from this side, and you need to make a patchwork quilt. And when you do that, you need to put it all together, and that's what you come out with. It's not going to be anybody's full-on offense. It's not going to be like, here's the signature offense, here's how it works. Matt Canada's handing you the playbook. Learn it. It has to be a meshing of all of their strengths, or else it's never going to work.
The one thing that reassures me in that regard is that Najee Harris is a whole lot more versatile, I think, than any of us really have an idea of. I mean, you didn't get a ton of glimpses of it at Alabama because he lined up in the backfield. He wasn't lining up in the slot. They had enough receivers. They didn't need Najee Harris lining up in the slot. So I think he's going to be able to do a ton of different things for them. But if Ben can't do a ton of different things, then we end up falling back, and it'll happen mid-October or so, especially if the offense is struggling early to find chemistry and rhythm, where we'll fall back into Ben in shotgun, four receivers, five receivers, maybe Harris is one of them lined up in the slot, and they're snapping at shotgun or pistol, and 2.2 seconds, get the ball out, and we're doing the same thing we did last year. If that's what they need to help themselves find a rhythm from time to time, I'm okay with that. But if that becomes the offense 110% of the time again, they're going
to
fail.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. It is going to be very, very interesting to see all of this. From a stylistic standpoint, though, it is good that Canada was already in the building and already served kind of as a coach last year. You do have to wonder how much influence he had on it. And Najee Harris, I don't know, too. He needs to be told, look, and this is part of that whole big dog description that I said, if you draft him, you have to do this. This is a Hall of Famer. This is a guy you used to watch on television when you were 10 years old.
Do not capitulate. Don't roll over.
Correct.
Yeah.
If you have an opinion, let it be known. Don't worry about it being Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
Like, there has to be a comfortability level that you need to assert yourself.
Mike Tomlin, the first time, and he may have sat down face-to-face with Najee already, because we all know Najee's been in Pittsburgh already. He needs to sit down and say, listen, this is not a knock on the franchise quarterback, because we believe in him enough that I wanted him back at least one more year, but you're going to be here longer than he is.
Right, right.
So you need to decide how you're going to handle this now, because I'm telling you right now, Najee Harris, you're going to be here longer than Ben Roethlisberger is, so you need to make what you want to do known as well. And you need to tell us what your strengths are, and you need to tell your quarterback what your strengths
are.
Yeah, I do.
I hope it works out like that, because that's the best functionality of this offense.
And he strikes me as a guy, just based on his personality and all the interviews I've consumed from the pre-draft process, we'll have no problem with
that.
There's
also something, the biggest thing in all of this, and it's like this with any offense, they better, and look, we're all caught up in this afterglow and the guy's exciting, whatever. The center better be able to play, or none of this can work. And not just play, he better be able to be really good, none of this can work.
Monday morning, if he is not starting week one, then something went wrong during training camp in the preseason with Kendrick Green, and they have to work. If J.C. Hassenauer or B.J. Finney is the starting center in week one, then something went wrong. Mike DeFabo, the Post-Gazette, he covers the Pens. He joins us in just a couple of minutes here at 8 o'clock. Michael McHenry at 8:30. Darren Drager from TSN up in Canada. NHL Insider at 9 o'clock. Paul and Weirton right now. You're on the Fan Morning Show. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Great.
Great. How you doing?
Hey, I was just listening to you guys on the way to work, and I have to ask, how do you guys think Najee Harris is going to do in the backfield this year? Do you guys think there's going to be more Ben turning around handing it off, or are they going to run out of the pistol, or – what do you guys think?
Well, I think he works at his best whenever Ben gets under center, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think that's where he works best, because he offers the threat then, if you have Najee Harris in the offense, the threat to open it up for Chase Claypool on the outside, for Juju some in the slot, to go vertical with Washington, to go vertical with Deontay Johnson, to run little in routes and eagle stuff and tunnel screens It's a compliment to the pass game, and the pass game's a compliment to Najee Harris. And I do think it works best from a timing standpoint to let it develop a little bit and have Ben under center.
Yeah, and I do think too, Paul, that it's important we recognize, despite all the comparisons between Najee Harris and Le'Veon Bell, Najee Harris is not going to pitter-patter the feet on the way up to the line of scrimmage. He's going to take the ball, he's going to approach the line and find a hole, if not find a hole, create a hole, and then go. He's not a hesitate-and-go kind of back. So I think that lends itself to a guy who, like you said, Colin, the quarterback has to be under center, has to turn around, hand it off to that guy. So he's got a little bit of speed going towards the line of scrimmage and is, you talk about getting vertical towards wherever the hole may be. It's not going to work similarly to where Ben was in the pistol, Lev was next to him.
Right.
He could just tuck it into his belly and he would sit there and find the hole.
Le'Veon Bell was masterful at being able to go from a dead stop and do some crazy things.
Yes.
And that's a gift. I think that where Randy Feitner really failed, really, really failed, he never got the ball to his playmakers enough with their feet moving. You know, Ben Roethlisberger was
still in the slot.
Yes, a ton of that. And it was just this churning sort of offense that didn't work enough. I think McFarland can be good if you get him the football with his feet moving. I think Najee Harris can be very good if you get him the ball. I'm not talking about like this 1981 deep eye in college football where the guy's 15 yards set behind the scrimmage line, but have him with some momentum towards the scrimmage line.
Yeah.
When you hand him the football, I think that works. You know, you envision like Roger Craig jumping over the line of scrimmage or something. I don't need that, but I need him moving forward when he touches the football. And I think that Matt Canada will give you some more of that. But it's all interdependent on the ball handling ability by the quarterback and the quarterback to get under center some. And I do think, too, like they can do more. He's got to hold on to it, but they could do more with Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson never runs reverses, and I don't understand why. They could do more stuff like that.
Well, yeah, if you're going to switch up, you know, and it's been alluded to by several people this offseason that all the receivers have to know all the positions. You're not just an X. You're not just the Z. You've got to know absolutely everything. So with that being the case, if every guy knows every position, then we should see any one of those receivers, short of maybe Juju, and maybe even including Juju, because we see how tough a runner he is when he's got the ball in his hands, in those jet sweep plays.
Yes.
Taking the ball on an end around. Whether we've seen it work with Claypool. To your point, we know Johnson has the speed. Guys like Ray McLeod, if you're going to put him out on the field, put him in a dynamic playmaking position. You know, even Juju, for that matter.
There were a lot of flat-footed catches that were in the Randy Feitner offense that I didn't understand.
There's just a lack of creativity there.
What do you think he's doing now? Like, what does he do?
Is he back in Meadville?
That's a good question. Randy Feitner obviously made enough for how Randy Feitner lives, probably.
Right.
I can't imagine him some big extravagant guy that needs to have a country club membership or anything. I wonder what he does.
Our guy Tony in
Here's
Virginia
our text
Beach
here.
Is from Meadville. I need him to look into it and let us know.
Here's a great text. You guys try so hard to find a way to bash Ben. Well, it's actually, I'd love to have this conversation, but hold on. It's not that. It's just we watch the last 7 games and we say there's room for improvement. You know, this has become, all things in society are like this. My wife
binary.
And I were talking about this last night, mm-hmm. and it is kind of like with this, with the vaccine, we were talking about this. We have it,
mm-hmm.
but people are made to be these, people who are pregnant or people who have oncology meds or something like that. It's like this one size fits all. You either have the vaccine or you're a terrible person. Well, there are some people who can't get it. And everything in life are these two sort of columns in everything that you do now. You're either like, in every topic, every hot button topic, the police. You're for the police or you hate the police.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, there's nuance.
Yeah.
It's like this with Ben. Like, no, we don't hate Ben Roethlisberger, but it's become in this city, you're for Ben Roethlisberger or you hate Ben Roethlisberger. No, I appreciate Ben Roethlisberger more than anybody. I understand what he's done for this franchise. But you can look at it and say, here's the deal. The last 6 games that he played, which is the sample size that we just saw on a team that was flying high, there were other problems with the football team. He just wasn't good. And there has to be a time which the end of the road comes. Could it be now? I don't know. But it's okay to call it down the middle, and that's how I see it, and I know that's how you see it.
Here's the thing. criticizing someone is not the same as bashing someone.
Very good call.
If we came on the air and we said, Ben Roethlisberger's washed up and done. Get him out of here. He's terrible. He's no good. Well, now we're bashing Ben, I guess, to a certain extent. We come on and we say, listen, it's great to see what he was able to do. I mean, MVP candidate first 11 weeks of the season. But that's what made it so much more disconcerting that he fell off the way he did the last 6 weeks, as you pointed out. And this is not the same person who texted that in also talked about how the offense with Bell, they spread people out and there's not the same personnel now. You don't have Antonio Brown. You don't have Le'Veon Bell. You have different people in this offense now. So the offense has to look different, and Ben has to be willing to be a part of that offense looking different if it's going to work.
Man, one of the biggest problems in our society, and it's sports and it's prevalent everywhere, is this two-canistered society where you put everybody in one of two canisters. It's crazy the way we do this. And you know what? Where it's going to come up to? I'm telling you already, with Malkin and Letang in these playoffs, I can already foresee it. Especially, like, take Letang. All right, here's what's going to happen. Somebody is going to say on Sports Talk Radio, as the playoffs are about to happen, listen, I really hope that this is the postseason of the last couple postseasons. We saw against the Canadiens what happened just last year in the bubble, and we've seen other times. Man, I really hope that Chris Letang is able to play within the structure of the... Well, didn't you just watch the regular season?
Right.
Chris Letang was spectacular. Well, he was.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, he was.
But we'd like to see that continue into the playoffs for a change.
Right. And so you are going to be placed without any nuance or gray into one of two canisters by the masses.
Right.
Whenever you don't want to be, forced into one of those two. It's now the odd take in society to have nuance.
Well, think about it. When we talked about, we kind of early previewed the fact that the schedule is going to be announced next Wednesday night, the other day. And we said, put the Steelers' opponents in one of three buckets, difficult, easy, or neutral, somewhere in between. About 9 times out of 10, if you were to see that presented now, whether it's on Sports Talk Radio or on Hot Take TV, whatever it may be, there would be no middle bucket. It would be put everything in the easy bucket or the difficult bucket. And you'd say, well, I'm putting the Bengals in the easy bucket. And they'd say, what, you don't think Joe Burrow's going to get any better this year?
To bring it to sports, too, the reason, and you're right about that, the reason why we are forced into, as a sports-watching society, we're forced into this mindset, if you will, is because there are so many contrived shows on television, especially these rundown shows, these argumentative shows, where this guy argues that the sky is blue, this guy argues that the sky is green, and they're set up like that, and you're forced to take one side or the other, or side with one guy or the other, and they offer no middle ground. And there's never any resolution. They both argue their points, they scream at each other, then they go to break.
Right.
And that's it. And it's mind-numbing, man.
It should be few and far between, and this kind of brings an off-air conversation we had the other day with our boss a little bit on the air, but it should be few and far between that your conversations or our conversations or our arguments are so vociferous that they get to that level where you're yelling and screaming at each other about stuff. Because if it happens all the time, people are going to get numb to it.
This is why I go home and eat a hoagie and watch TV and mind my own freaking business. I mean, I don't... Right now, talking on the radio is the most people I deal with by far. And the most right here in this room is the most people I deal with and I want to deal with.
Shrink that circle.
People suck. But it's great. Call us. 412-92. No.
We'd love to hear from you today. Hope you're having a great Friday. People suck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.